apologies.
Yes, Chairman, apologies received from Councillor Mr. Acevedo, Councillor Mr. Lewis, Councillor Durham, and Councillor Boyce is attending as substitute for Councillor Mr. Lewis.
Thank you. Minutes of the last meeting. Members, are those agreed?
Agreed.
Excellent. Disclosure of interest. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest, or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for Members. Anything?
No.
Okay. Public participation, there is none. Chairman's good news announcements. We have several items. The Local Development Plan, as members know, has now been approved by the Secretary of State. Work on the Essex Police Base at the Council offices is complete, and the police will be relocating over the course of the next few weeks. Council accountants have achieved success in the recent ACCA exams. The Burnham on Crouch Neighbourhood Development Plan referendum took place last week, and there were 1,432 voting yes, so that was approved. And external audit have nearly completed the audit of the Council's financial statement. So that's all very encouraging. So with that, we can move straight into item 7, Corporate Health and Safety.
Thank you, Chair. This report attracted some press interest this week, but what it does is it provides an update on the corporate health and safety quarter one and reports progress against the annual action plan. There have been 10 accidents in quarter one, and none of them are required to be reported to the health and safety executives. 4 incidents of unacceptable behaviour. There's been no increase in accidents, some increase in unacceptable behaviour, and therefore conflict management training has been scheduled to take place over the next 6 weeks. And in terms of what we've done on the action plan, we've reviewed the fire procedure and updated, and we tested that last week. The fire procedure was tested last week, and contractors and the first aid procedure has also been updated. The bomb and terrorist procedure will be updated when the police move in.
Before I take any comments on this item, just if we can say for the purposes of the minutes that Councillor Miss Lewis has arrived and the Councillor Boyce has stepped down as substitute, I think, from a substitute role.
Yes, sorry, Chairman, I wasn't aware a sub had been asked for,
but
I didn't ask for.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, pleased that you're here, Councillor Miss Lewis. Any comments on the Corporate Health and Safety Report, or is that noted? Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Just one question on 3.2, speaking of the 4 incidents of unacceptable behaviour reported. What was the consequence of that, can I ask?
I think generally it depends on what the behaviour is, but where necessary, the authorities will be informed if so if necessary, the police will be informed. But otherwise, if it's on the telephone, etc., calls will be terminated and conversations finished.
One of the additional benefits, I guess, and synergies of having the police on site. Anything else, members, or is that noted? Councillor Miss Lewis.
Yes, please.
I was wondering when we actually report our health and safety incidents, whether or not we ever do write them off to carelessness, because, you know, some of them are just careless, quite frankly. Anybody that can bend forward and bang their head on a beam really wasn't thinking about what they were doing, unless it was that they were trying to avoid a low-flying duck.
And that was off the premises.
When is an accident to health and safety incident, and when is it just carelessness? Because it does make us look a bit silly at times.
But I think that's a judgment for the health and safety advisor to make, obviously in conjunction with this committee as well. I think the idea of this report is that we see the totality of incidents, and obviously to the extent that, as in this case, most of them are probably down to, you know, carelessness rather than necessarily something wrong with, you know, the infrastructure, then we can write them off to that. But clearly they also may define a pattern, and if they do, then something needs to be done about that, and that's something which I guess would take Jill Gibson's advice on.
Yeah.
Noted. Okay, good. On to Human Resources Policy and Procedure, Ms. Foyne.
Okay, so the purpose of this item is to agree some changes to the probation policy and procedure, basically bring it in line with other procedures and policies that have changed recently, such as the absence management procedure and the performance management framework. So the right of appeal does not apply during probation, that's been updated. The notice period for exit under probation should be 1 month and not 1 week, so that's been changed. And there's also a change in treatment of staff moving roles within the council, in that rather than they start a brand new probation period, they're managed through the standard performance management framework, which now allows for that. So they're the key changes.
Councillor Fuca.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just going to ask whether or not this has been done in unison with Unison as our lead union, but looking at 3.6 it has. This is all standard, Chairman, and I would propose that we agree to recommend approval to Council. Thank you.
Is that agreed, members?
Agreed.
Excellent. On to the following item 9, disabled facilities grants. Who's taking that?
Thank you, Chair. So this has already been through community services, and it is about varying the fees of the DFG and really bringing them in line with the other authorities, benchmarking and allowing further recovery.
Members, is that agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. Excellent. Item 10, the 2016-17 budgetary outturn under Senator Scott.
Thank you, Chairman. At the Finance and Corporate Services Committee in June, members requested additional information in relation to the 2016 outturn underspends. The outturn has been reviewed on a line-by-line basis for both revenue and capital, and this report highlights the reasons for the variances. For revenue budgets, that information is shown on page 42. The key contributor to avoidable variances was the lack of a full revised budget exercise at the request of the finance management team who were in post at the time. For 2017-18, the revised budget will be reviewed with the same process as for the original budgets that will be being set. Capital projects have been subject to a detailed review by the corporate leadership team, and the underperformance has been discussed with directors and relevant officers. Page 44 and 45 have summarised the reasons for those project underspends. To ensure the programme for 17-18 doesn't have the same issues, it's been scrutinised to ensure that it's achievable. Due start dates and completion dates have been entered to aid follow-up, and where necessary, projects have been removed, and this is reported in more detail in Agenda Item 11. Thank you.
Members, this was something we asked to come back in more detail, and I guess Mr. Holmes is also here, who I know is whose director is responsible for a number of these capital areas, for example. So if there are any questions, then obviously I'm sure he can take those. Councillor Fleeker.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm certainly, based on this report, looking forward to working with the Director of Resources to formulate a zero budget for 18-19, because I think that's very important, so hopefully we'll be able to move that forward as a policy from our group. Chairman, the thing that concerns me enormously about this is in 3.3.3, the last paragraph in question. I mean, these are huge sums of money, and committees often spend a lot of time looking at supplementary estimates, and this is new money, but it's clear that we've actually got money there that we're not being used, and we should via, and I think based on this, we should be looking for violence rather than supplementary estimates, because there's clearly a huge amount of money. And if one looks back through some of the reports towards the back end of the fiscal year, it must have been obvious to somebody that we were having a massive underspend. I appreciate this wasn't necessarily on your watch, but we really must keep a very close eye on this, because to the untrained eye and the member of the public, this really doesn't look as though we're looking after our accounts properly, or our budgets properly. I beg your pardon.
It's
fine.
Other than that, Chairman, no report.
Okay, so I think the key point in terms of the finance team, the finance management team, is really looking at making sure we've got proper internal controls over budgeting in place now. So one element of that is moving towards a zero-based budget for 18-19. Another element is stopping, exactly as you've said, supplementary estimates where violence can take place. And we've already caught two of those in the last few weeks, where we've actually gone back and said, no, you need to look to buy it, you need to review what's in the directorate budget. Then finally, it's really understanding capital monitoring, being much more stringent in what is approved in the first place. So if something is service failure, it is service failure. You can see that it's service failure and it's obvious that it's service failure. So only those things getting approved, and then also really monitoring cash to maximise the income gain from treasury management accordingly.
Equally, Councillor Fleetwood, when environment happens, you know, we need to make sure that that happens under the same degree of scrutiny, because, you know, by definition, these directorates are underspending as the year goes on, and therefore, whether you call it environment, whether you call it a supplementary estimate, it actually amounts ultimately to the same thing, because the directorate isn't spending that money, and therefore, we do need to have those environments under scrutiny as well.
So, Chairman, can I come back? Because I know you'd like to come back several times yourself.
I'd be delighted.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Fleetwood. Chairman, can I just say that I'm sure this will be excellent value, Chairman. I'll leave it to others who are in the chamber to judge you. Chairman, I'm delighted that the 151 officer looks forward to a zero budget, because it's certainly something which I've been aspiring to for 6 years. I know that the 18-19 budget, we will aspire to it, and I hope that the group delivers it. Thank you.
Councillor Miss Lewis.
I think it was actually
Councillor Dobson.
First.
That's okay.
Ladies first.
I think the thing that worries me is, and I understand.
Can you put your microphone on?
I understand you saying, you know, we've got to be careful about what we approve, and we don't always get a timetable for delivery when we approve things. And I think that if we started to allocate time to them, and that in turn would trigger a point of allocating staff resource to the delivery of it, that we'd actually have a much better idea of whether or not we're approving can be delivered on time, in budget, and therefore we don't have some of the unfortunate things and decisions to make where we've turned things down thinking we've not got enough cash to do it, whereas actually all the time we've had massive underspends that could have allowed us to do other things in other areas. So I think that if we have resource and resources both planned against any as part of the plan at the point of approval, that would probably assist the council enormously, I would have thought.
And look, I mean, this is a helpful report as well, and officer continuity is important as well. We remember that we had a number of changes in the Directorate of Resources over the past, you know, 6 or 12 months, and so hopefully now with Miss Foy and Miss Cox in place, you know, this is something that won't happen again, and we'll get much better clarity on this budgeting process as it goes on. Councillor Dobson.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not going to say about the budget setting process, but it's about the culture of the council for me on this. I think, and it's in the conclusion and forward one of this report, is that I think it says it'll be done with training, and it needs to be done, it needs to be for not just directors, but the group managers also need to understand that our decision making process as members depends on how much money we've got as a council. If there's an underspend, then it's going to change my decision making process. If I've got potentially 800,000 sitting somewhere that's not being spent, it's going to change my decision making process on certain things. Yeah. So it needs to be understood as, and it's accountability from the senior leadership team, but it's also accountability from the group managers to understand that when they're putting this stuff in, that we expect them as members to deliver on it. And if they're not going to deliver on it, and they shouldn't put it in, it shouldn't come towards us as members to judge it. So I think it's a cultural thing that also needs to be flowing through the council, not just from the senior leadership team.
Yeah. Okay, is the report agreed? Councillor Beale, sorry, first.
Thank you. Over the years, I've found a great major reason for varmints or overspends has always been the control of contracts. I've been saying this for years. Have we got now personnel in place that understand contracts to make certain that when we are going to have a price put forward, it will stay within that price and not find, oh dear, we made a mistake and it's going to cost more? And I think that over the last few years has been one of the major problems of variance in our controls. And have we now got control of the situation in respect of a person who understands contracts?
Miss Foy.
Thank you. So in terms of the last financial year, we're looking at underspends rather than overspends. there was a overspend on the capital project in terms of St. Sed's, and this group has looked at that, and overview and scrutiny will look at that further. In terms of our ongoing revenue contracts, each one has an allocated contract manager, and the ongoing revenue contracts did not cause the ongoing issues in the last financial year.
Okay, so is that report noted? Thank you. On to item 11, budgetary control. Is that another one for you, Ms. Cox?
Thank you, Chairman. This report shows the outturn for quarter one. Our budgets are profiled over a 12-month period, and therefore revenue budget would currently expect to be 25% spent. Pages 52 and 53 look at the spend to date and provide the reasons for these current variances, which are mainly due to where we've not yet been invoiced, where we've got demand-led budgets that wouldn't follow the 12-month profiling, and where we've received annual invoices and grants that have used the budget in period one. Salary costs are currently underspent. However, with the filling of the posts in the planning department, we're now anticipating that those savings will be reduced in the coming months as the posts are filled. Income currently is in line with overall 25%. Where we're slightly low on the planning development fees, that's currently being reviewed by the planning policy manager to ensure that the budgets that we have set are achievable. As we mentioned previously, the capital programme has been reviewed critically, and some items have now been removed from the programme, and they will be subject to future reports should the work still be required, and they are detailed on page 55 in paragraph 3.3.5. Thank you.
Members, comments noted?
Noted.
Thank you. On to item 12, supplementary estimates and environments. We're going to receive a verbal report from Ms. Boyne.
There are none. So there were two supplementary estimates that appeared to come forward, but both have been sent back to look at their directorate budget.
They may come back next time as environments. Councillor Fluker, to your, I'm sure, delight, and mine too. Item 13, any other items of business that are urgent? None. 14, exclusion of public and press. To resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1 and 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Is that proposed? Is that seconded? Sorry. Okay. Agreed.